Let's see. Where'd Jenpo go? Is your cousin's birthday today? Is that right? Today? She doesn't know if it's her birthday or not? She's shy. Well, I won't turn Cliffy loose then. Happy birthday, Maligayang. And I can never say it, so I'll do the long word, Bati. I can say that. That Rawan, I can never get right. All right, let's all stand, please. Colossians chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, it will show up behind me. I'm going to speak this morning on a very specific title from a very specific text. We're going to talk about the text. We're not going to talk about anything but the text this morning in the sense of how do we do this. Everyone, the title of the sermon is Giving Thanks. Everybody, I am not discussing, I'll say it again, I am not discussing being thankful. Because being thankful is how you feel and how you feel about yourself. We're not discussing that. We're going to discuss the actual giving thanks. Now, I'm going to do it from a text. I'm not going to refer to anything about American history today. I've done that in the past. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. The Apostle Paul writes to the church of Colossae and says this, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I will explain that saints and all those words a little bit later. He goes on to say, why would we give thanks? By the way, it's giving us reasons why we give thanks. The first one is God has made us meet, whatever that means. We'll talk about it. Verse 13, another reason, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. There, by the way, any Christian is going to give testimony to God delivering them. It's like this, folks. I was headed this way, now I'm headed this way, and in some ways, I don't know how that happened. God, only God can explain how I was going into darkness and now I'm not. Third reason in the text, the King James says he has translated. We don't use that word any longer that way. It means transferred. You know, translates from one language to another. In this case, it's talking about we have been translated or transferred from darkness in to the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, this is the fourth reason, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We're going to talk about giving thanks this morning, not thanks, not feeling grateful. That's wonderful. But that is, everybody thinks they're good, so they do this. I'm talking about the actual thing of giving thanks, just what Paul teaches here. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, help me as I try to share some very simple ideas with the folks here this morning. I thank you for this time. I ask that this will be helpful and encouraging for those that are not saved here this morning. Lord, obviously our goal is for everyone to grasp what Christ has done for us and for them to personally trust Christ, personally come to Christ, personally repent, turn from their sins to the living God, personally call upon him. This is a very personal matter. It's an individual matter, so we must do it individually. For all of us, how do we sing a song like that and be an ungrateful person? I think all of us could think back to some people we'd like to have one more hour with, I'm pretty sure. And Lord, that's part of the whole thing of eternity and the hope we have in Christ, that we are going to be part of the fullness of the kingdom of God on earth forever, and we'll be with all of the saints throughout the ages. And yes, we will know one another. Actually, we'll know each other better there than we do here. Help us. Bless, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to tell a story that happened to me about in the last 6 months. It's a small story, but it'll have a good meaning if you listen. I don't know when. I think it was before I had my knee surgery, but it might not have been. I had to go shopping. Now, friends, Pastor Warren was not made to shop. Shopping is not an act. I mean, if you want to make me depressed, take me to a mall. If you want to take me doubly depressed, have me try to find something. I go to Sam's Club about once a month. I am very surgical. Do you understand what I mean? Nothing else is in my world except what I came to get. Water, apple juice for my grandsons, some chocolate for my children here, one or two other, by the way, that's it. I mean, there's always somebody selling something, and I always smile and said, thank you, but no thank you, and I just, because I'm on a mission. Well, it was one of those days. I went there. I think I got four cases of water. I got some apple juice. I got, you know, some chocolate, I'm sure, three or four other objects or items. I ran back to the self-checkout. There was an opening. I pulled up to the self-checkout. I still remember. This stuff is automatic now. Pulled out my wallet. Dig through here. Sam's Club card. What do you call this thing? I like the gun part. Scanner is what I think is more polite. I got the gun, the scanner gun. I shot the thing. Is that what you do? I don't know. Scanned it. Put this thing back in my wallet. Over here says taxed or not taxed. I hit the button, and I started. Got one case. You got to wait. You can't just go boom, 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 boom. You got to have a little break. Hit it. Then I looked at the screen. I had a smile this wide. Before, it would just list in micro print, you know, for an old man, micro print what you bought. And on the new screens at Sam's Club, it gives you a picture of the item. And it gives you the name. And it gives you how many you bought. So when I'm paying for them and I walk out the door, the woman doesn't say, what about those three items you're trying to steal there, okay? I looked at that and I was so happy. It showed the bottles of water, the picture, the name, quantity 4. Then I hit the apple juice. I almost always get their double bottles for my grandson, so I get 4 of those. Click, you know, and then you wait, click. And it had the apple juice just like it looked, picture 4. I went through the whole process. I was very happy because it's not really pleasant for the pastor of Lake County to go to Sam's Club and they say, you haven't paid for that item. Now, I'm weird, just so you know, I'm very weird. I actually got out of there one time and I had an item I hadn't paid for. Now, this is me. You do what you need to do. I could not just go home. I had to go in and pay for it. I couldn't steal from somebody. You say, why? There is a living God and I have a mother that would kill me for stealing. Okay? It's just that simple. My mother, two things my mother did not have the ability to do. One of them is funny. She can't even tell a white lie. She gets messed up in white lies. You know, the kind where you're trying to say, I did not buy you a gift for Christmas. You know, it's like, Mom. And she can't steal. Boy, I was happy. Now, if you go to the next slide, Tita. I recognize this at Sam's Club. In order to give thanks, everybody hear me. I'm being precise. To give thanks requires 3 things. You have to have, first of all, something to give thanks for. I was happy about the screen. I could immediately know what I had scanned, look at my cart. I didn't have to read fine print, roll it back and forth, trying to figure it out, overlook something. I could see it, and I was so happy I had something to give thanks for. You have to have someone to give thanks to. Did you ever think about that? If you're thankful, who do you say thanks to? Look at me, please. Do you say thanks to yourself? You have to, you know, there's something and someone. It can be God. It can be a person. The third part is there has to be some time, meaning you have to actually do it at a specific time. Feeling good or being grateful is not really giving thanks because it's not something you do at a specific time. So my whole sermon is right there. You have to have something to give thanks for, someone to give thanks to, and some time to give thanks at. Here was my problem. I didn't have the number 2. I had something to give thanks for. Who was I going to say thank you to for the new displays? You say, you could have told the workers. They had nothing to do with it. You said you could have told the lady at the counter. She had nothing to do. I'm telling you, I went back here a couple weeks ago and I walked out still frustrated because I cannot figure out who to say thank you to. Takes three. Look at me. Takes three. Giving thanks requires something that you give thanks for, someone you give thanks to, and some time you give thanks at. It has to be a time that you actually give thanks. I learned that the hard way at Sam's Club. And now every time I go back, look, I'm not kidding. I've been back a couple times since then. I smile when I see that screen. And then I'm like, but I don't know who to tell. Do I email the dark hole, the abyss? No one would ever hear. I would like to tell somebody, thank you. This is wonderful. It helps me. Oh, as opposed to, I hate this place. I hate my life. I hate everybody. You guys are miserable. This is the worst place I've ever been. I think I would rather say thank you. Those are the requirements. What does the text tell us? Well, the text is very, very, in the three ideas, they're all three here, two of them in a very big way. We start in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks, we start with what? Giving thanks unto the Father. So that's where it starts. Number one, giving thanks to the Father. Friend, we have someone to give thanks to minimally. We can give thanks to our Heavenly Father. I put a plus on that because I don't think it, if you said thank you to the Lord Jesus, that would be okay too. I mean, I don't think that's offensive. It's a triune God. But the idea is in the text, it normally says we give thanks to the Father. Have you ever just bowed your head and said, thank you? This week I went to a place. By the way, I shouldn't go there, and it's your fault. 100% Rolando's fault. I went to Tamales El Guero. What is it called? Guero. Excuse me. Forgive me. I didn't quite have it right. Guero. Guero. It means gringo or something. You know, it's talking about, isn't that what it means? It means tamales for white people. Something like that. Well, I go there because they have the best food. No joke. Now, maybe you don't like this. They have quesabirria there. And all I'm going to tell you is when I go there and I put that in my mouth, you say, who do you thank? God for creating people different than me that can come up with food like this that makes, you say, that's going to make you die earlier. Well, we're going to have it in heaven, so I'm ready. I'm ready, folks. You say it's bad for you. Probably most everything I eat is bad for me. But I can give thanks, friend. Thanksgiving. Giving thanks. Colossians 3:17 says this, and whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all to the in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. By the way, I just selected three verses. We could spend all morning talking about this. But the point of all this is we're giving thanks to the Father. So of the three requirements, every believer has someone to give thanks to. My favorite verse on Thanksgiving in general is Ephesians 5:20. This passage just grips me. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, please look at me. If you ask Ralph Warren, what is your favorite season of the year? Thanksgiving. But we got a problem. If you're not a believer, who are you going to give thanks to? You're missing one of the elements. Do you not know we have a problem? Thanksgiving has become a big party now. You know, you have on Friday, what do we do on Friday? We go shopping. Why? Because Thanksgiving? That's a day to eat a lot of food, sleep in front of a football game. No. It's the reason is simple. I love Thanksgiving because I have someone to give thanks to. I can give thanks to my Heavenly Father. We're going to get into some of the specifics, but it can be for many more. I always can give, hear me, not be thankful, give thanks because of the Heavenly Father. I got somebody to give thanks to. Now, friends, I'm not going to preach on this morning because it's not the text. I got a lot of people to be thankful for, too. How about you? Do you have anybody helping you out? By the way, I got two sisters. I like those two sisters. You say, why? Because they take care of my mother. If my mother didn't have my two sisters, she would have me. I live too far away, and she'd have another person in my family that has visited her, I think, once or twice in the last 11 years. And my two sisters do everything. And by the way, almost every conversation, I kid them and say something like, I don't want to say it, but I am thankful for what you guys do. By the way, they just do everything for my mother. That's important to me. I live here. Mom lives in Springfield. Many people struggle with Thanksgiving. They don't have a God to give thanks to, their Heavenly Father, and they don't have anybody they want to give thanks to. They want Thanksgiving to be about them. Giving thanks to the Father. That's the first part. Someone to give thanks to. We continue. Colossians 1:12, then it answers the first question. If you're going to give thanks, you have to have not only someone to give thanks to, but you have to have something to give thanks for. So the whole text tells us what we give thanks for. Colossians 1:12 says this, giving thanks unto the Father, which first of all hath made us meet, King James English, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hath made us meet. That is not real clear in modern English. I'm going to use a couple different words that I hope they help you. The second idea now is not on who we give thanks to, someone, it's something. Number two, giving thanks for God, qualifying us or fitting us for an inheritance, friend. God himself looks down at sinful people like you and me with all of your sin. And the difference is, friend, God knows you. God knows you exactly as you are. If you're ever going to be saved, if you are saved, it's because God did something. He fitted us or he qualified us. And I don't like qualified. It doesn't sound right, but it kind of gives you the idea that I must be fitted or qualified to have this inheritance. Where do I get this inheritance from? God fits me for it. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made me meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. By the way, friends, saints are not dead people. Look at me, everyone. I haven't taught this in 25 years. When I first came here, I taught this a lot. I'm not going to do it this morning. Can I say this? I can do about six of these, but I'll do two or three. Number one, a saint is someone who is alive and not dead. All the epistles of Paul are directed to the saints. Number two, a saint is someone who is imperfect, not perfect. Number three, a saint is a normal person, not an abnormal person. A saint in the Bible simply means this. It's from the word hagios. It is the word hagios. It comes from the word of holy, but it means a person that has been separated unto God forever, part of his family. We're going to have an inheritance among all the people that God has saved out of the world, set apart to himself for eternity. That's who we have this inheritance with. So we give thanks, giving thanks for God fitting us or qualifying us for an inheritance. I'll tell the story in a different way. 1975, I made two huge mistakes. Not joining the Navy, that was okay. I joined the United States Navy 13 days out of high school. 13 or 10, I forget, June 13th. I made two mistakes. Number one, I joined the United States Navy and went to Orlando, Florida in the summer. Oh, that was stupid. It's hot in Orlando, Florida in the summer. Now, by the way, if you go down there, you go in and out of air conditioning. We didn't have air conditioning in the barracks, and we were outside. I still remember, I was thinking even in boot camp, this was really not too bright. Can I say this? It's like coming to Chicago in January. Not bright. This is what I remember. One night I was getting ready to go to sleep in the rack, and my ears were killing me. I touched the top of my ears, and they were bleeding because they were burned to a crisp from the sun. Now, for all of you, remember I was in the 70s when men had lots of hair? My ears hadn't seen sunlight in decades, and they were roasted. Stupid going there in June. Second mistake, where I'm coming, I went to boot camp on a Friday. Friday morning, my parents got up early. They drove me to St. Louis to the AFI station. I got on a plane. I had already sworn in April. I got on a plane. I flew to Orlando. That was fine. Everything was good. Here's the problem. When you get to boot camp on a Friday, we got there late Friday night. You don't have a uniform. You don't have your haircut. Look at me. You're not fitted for the United States Navy. The next morning, I still remember, we were dead sleeping, dead tired in racks. There was 80 or so of us in this. There was a center, what do you call them? Picnic tables down the center. They're on the sides where these double racks, up and down, all the way down this big room. And all I remember is the company commander came in and said something like this. Gentlemen, would you like to get up? I would not do to you what they did to us, by the way, but I'll give you exactly what they did. They took a large metal trash can on a floor like this, and at about 4:15 in the morning, slammed that thing on the ground, and this is their language. I don't know what they do now. Pop tall. You better get out of that bed, get on that line right in front of your rack, standing like we didn't even know how to stand. We were so scared. He's yelling at us, and you're awakened from absolute pitch black and dark, deep sleep. Oh, by the way, by the end of 9 weeks, that didn't faze us at all. You could do that 10 times. We got out of bed. We didn't care. Well, first day, Saturday. Do you know what happened? I'm in the Navy, but there's a problem. I don't have a uniform. None of us do. Number two, we don't have our haircut. So we got, remember, I'm from the 70s. Clayton, I don't think you're quite as old as me, but black guys, white guys, we had lots of hair. Here we are marching in boot camp, and all these guys are marching properly in, uniform. And they have a guy calling cadence, and here's a bunch of guys tripping over. I can still remember guys tripping, pushing, shoving, getting in a fist fight. We're in civilian clothes. We don't have our hair cut. Everybody knows, look at me, we're not fit for the United States Navy. Monday they came in, again, 4:15 in the morning. Very nice. Gentlemen, would you like to get up? They march us to chow hall. By the way, I learned, hurry up and wait. We got to the chow hall at 4:30 in the morning. It opened at 6. You say, what do you do there? We sat there and looked handsome. Parade dress for an hour or something. Later that day, they came in, and the first thing they did was, bzzz, you just see like mountains of hair coming off. Mountains of hair. And by the way, they did it very gently, kindly. Guys were bleeding and everything else. And then we come into the line, and they start giving us uniforms. And they look at us, and you say, did they have a uniform to fit you? Yes, they did. I wore a 38 or 39 long. That's what I wear today, too. 38 or 39 long. The long part is still true, okay. 52 long, I think it is. But anyhow, they gave us uniforms. They gave us shoes, socks. They took what little bit of civilian clothes. My worst part is they took my great expensive cologne, and they sent it back to my parents. I had a bottle of Brut. That's some expensive cologne, folks. Let me tell you what. Now, listen, I didn't realize that people that were alcoholics will drink Brut cologne, okay? They took everything away from us. But can I say something? The next day when we walked out, we had our uniform on. We had our haircut. We still didn't know how to march. We were learning. Can I say this? They fitted us for the United States Navy. Do you know why you're thankful? Because, folks, if you're not saved here this morning and you join God's team, so to speak, you don't fit in. Everything you do is wrong. God has to change everything to make us meet, to have this inheritance with the saints in light. God changes us, of course. That's what he does. And I will say this to you. I don't even understand it. God qualifies us. He fixes us. He fits us. He makes us meet for this inheritance with the saints in light who are not saints. By the way, you go from being not a saint, not someone that's interested in any of this, to being a saint because God has changed you at conversion and continues to change you. We were people who weren't saints. We were people who walked in darkness. And wow, you say, why are you thankful? Because God has fitted us, qualified us, made us meet to have this inheritance. That gives you something to give thanks for. Well, it continues. Colossians 1 verse 13 gives us the second thing we give thanks for. Remember, we have someone, that's the Father, we have some things. The second thing is, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Friends, it's an easy thing to know if you're a believer. Please look at me. I don't know if you prayed a prayer. I'm not mad at anybody. Listen, I don't know anything about you, but I do know this. If you have not experienced God delivering you from one way of life to another way of life, I don't understand it. Because you're going one way, you're in love with the darkness, and God delivers us. So the second idea is giving thanks. Why? For God delivering us from the power of darkness, the place where darkness controls people. And God, only God can do that. Acts chapter 26, verse 18 says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among all them which are sanctified. By the way, that's the verbal form of saint, setting apart. All of those who've been set apart by faith, that is in me. John chapter 3, this is the condemnation. That light is coming to the world. By the way, Jesus is the light of the world, friend. And if you know him, you need to believe. You need to follow him right now. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. We're evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. All right, everyone look at me. Can we do this morning? I can walk around now. My knee's working. Can I ask you a question? Why do we have so many people that you know and I know that are all Christians, all going to heaven when they die, but they're in love with darkness? I have person after person after person. They'd swear on 12 Bibles, but their whole life is darkness. They love the darkness. Why? By the way, something hasn't yet happened because God delivers us from that darkness. I know struggle. We all struggle with things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fundamental change from being in love with the darkness to something has changed. God has delivered us. No longer are we controlled by that darkness. Oh, wait a minute. You'll have people come to church. Look at me. When I was in Bible college, I heard the president. He said this repeatedly, so I'm going to repeat it to you. I did not understand it when he said it. I was too young and not a pastor. He would say this, Christianity is not measured in years, but decades. You can fake it for a while. Look at me. You can fake it for a while. You can fake it because you like the jokes or you like the people or you like the skin colors or you don't, you know, all food, all that stuff is great. You can't fake it very long. You might fake it for 6 months, a year or 2 years. And hear me, I'm not mad at you. Here's the thing that gets me. I can't explain why I don't want to do the things that I used to do, except God. God does something. He first of all, he fits us, or he qualifies us, or maybe we could say he prepares us for this inheritance where it makes sense. He also delivers us from that realm. But it's more than a realm. It's the authority, the power that keeps drawing people back. This is what you'll see. Some people come for a few weeks, few months. Most won't even that long now. But they're pulled back, always pulled back because God hasn't changed them. Friend, getting saved is God delivering us from that, all of the darkness in life. Here's some simple facts. We're all born in darkness. We walk in darkness. We like the darkness. In fact, we love the darkness. And I've seen this with people that have been through our ministry. when we finally tire of the darkness because of all the complications of drugs, alcohol, and all the crazy stuff that people do, we finally get tired of it. We can't figure out how to get out of it. Here it is. God shines the light of the gospel into our darkness, and God himself delivers us. He rescues us. One guy translated the word ruomai, which is the word for deliver. He drags us out. I grew up on a farm, Chris. You asked me that question about, I grew up on 280 acres. Small farm in the 60s, but not a good grain farm, cattle farm. I won't say the hardest thing I've ever dragged out, but look at me. Have you ever had an animal stuck and dying? I, with my father, have dragged cattle out of a bog. We have done it with manually grabbing a hold of legs. We've had to put chains on cattle to drag them out because the cow can't get out of the mud and the muck, and you got to get them out. I would say the other thing, but it's not appropriate for us, a church service. Folks, God has to drag us out because we can't figure out. And here's what I see. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, back to the darkness, living in the darkness over and over. Fixated, it, look at me, in love with the darkness, hate the light, but want to go to heaven. I don't know what that even means. Folks, no. God himself drags us out of that mess. And that's what he does. And specifically, not only the darkness, but the power of the darkness. Number four. It's the third reason. It's in verse 13. Now it's the other side, the positive side. So God has made us fit or made us prepared or made us qualified for this inheritance. We give thanks for that. We give thanks for him delivering us from the power of darkness. Thirdly, this is the third reason, he gives, well, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Modern translations will say transferred because that's the word we use now. It's the same idea. Something is taken from one place and put in another place. We were controlled by darkness. That is our love. Hear me. That's what we love. When you talk to somebody about, are you a Christian? Are you saved? And they want to claim, once saved, always saved. I'm going to heaven. But they're in love with darkness. They are not saved. By definition, God has pulled us out, even if we're tempted, even if we drift back occasionally. That's different than a person that loves this and hates the light, because God, first of all, delivers us from the power of darkness. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. And he also transfers or translates us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I'm going to give an illustration. The Bible uses the term slave, servant, a lot. The Old Testament word is ebed, and that's a broad word that can mean anything from a slave to the mildest form of somebody that just helps around your house. Big, broad word. New Testament uses two words primarily, doulos, which means slave and other, and diakonos, which is more servant. Slavery. Now, I'm going to make it physical, and I'm going to move to where we're talking about in the New Testament era. Now, please, do me a favor. Take a breath. If you think slavery is an American problem, I will only tell you this. Where have you lived your whole life? You cannot read a single book in any kind of real history where slavery was known every place. The first place slavery was ever done away with in a broad sense was England and the United States. Yes, we had slavery, but I'm talking back in the first century. Do you realize in the Roman Empire, with one out of three in cities and one out of eight in general were slaves of some variety? Look around. Did you hear me? Most people were slaves. You say, Pastor, what? I just want to be free. No. Nobody in the first century wanted to be free. You say, if I just get my freedom, see, you're missing the point. Our God did what? He delivered us from the domain, the power, the enslavement of sin, darkness, and he transfers or translates, it's the same meaning. He takes us from that and brings us into, what does the text say? Into the kingdom of his what? Dear Son, giving thanks for God translating or transferring us into the kingdom of his dear son. Please hear me, friend. Nobody in the ancient world wanted to be free the way you think, because that meant you had nothing. They wanted to get out of slavery, yes, but they wanted to be part, listen, part of something better, a family. There was a young boy in the 40 BCs. He was a teenager. I don't know his exact age, 13, 14. He was very smart. Everybody knew he was smart, but nobody knew anything else. He had an uncle. The uncle's name was Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar, most of you know, was assassinated because he declared himself a dictator. Later on, they read the will. By the way, everybody thought they were part of the will because Julius Caesar was the wealthiest person in the Roman Empire. Everybody wanted the money and the power. He gave everything to, or more or less everything to, this teenage boy. Can I tell you what God does for you? He doesn't just free you. He gives you a family. You're part of the kingdom of his dear son. Why do you think you give thanks? Because I'm no longer in darkness, but if you're not in the kingdom of his dear son, you're in no place. You're in no man's land. Hear me. Nobody in the ancient world wanted to be free in the way we think of. They wanted to be part of a family that had something. And this young man, whose name was Octavian, well, he was a genius in many ways, and by the way, not a believer in any sense. But that young man became the first Caesar in the empire, the great one called Augustus. And it was because his uncle gave him the name, the money, the power, the position, and it gave him the option. Here's what God does. He takes us and delivers us from the power of darkness, but he doesn't leave us in a no man's land, this neutral place. He brings us into the kingdom. And listen, friend, that means you have an inheritance. That means you've been delivered. That means you're part of this kingdom. And by the way, in the future, you will benefit 100% from the kingdom of his dear son. That's what God has done for us. Can I say this? Julius Caesar gave Octavian money, inheritance, position, and a name. You have the name of Christ, and that's the greatest name of all. And friend, you have the name because now you're part of his kingdom, his family. You have his life, his love, his friendship. Everything about you comes from him. Now, you say, I want to be free. I don't. And the Bible never indicates Christians are free in that sense. They're just free from that domain of darkness, the power of darkness. And now they're part of a totally different thing where they have all the blessings of the living God. We experience some of it now, all of it then. Yes. Well, let's go to this next point, please. Colossians 1:14 gives us the fourth something to be grateful for. We already had someone. That's God the Father. Four things. We're grateful because God has fitted us, or prepared us, or qualified us for this inheritance. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. He has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, everyone that's a believer. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption. I'm not going to focus on that this morning for time, but that basically means God has paid with his son a price for our sins. A price has been paid. And that's how we get delivered from them. But I want to focus on the last part. In whom we have redemption through his blood, here it is. Even the forgiveness of sins. Number five, giving thanks for God redeeming us, which leads to forgiving us. Because the price was paid, God can forgive us. Friends, I can walk out here on Sunday morning. I can sit right here. You can sit right there and you can be very comfortable. But I want to say this to you, friend. God knows you. He knows everything about you. When you get saved, what does God do? Look at me. He changes you. He prepares you, qualifies you, fits you for this inheritance. Number two, he delivers you from that power, that overwhelming sinful urges to be different. He transfers you translates you into the kingdom of his dear son. And listen to me, he forgives all of your sins. Why? because you haven't committed any sins? No. He forgives you for your sins. Why? When I'm seated here, I have nothing to offer God. I am forgiven because of what God did with his son. Look at me. This isn't one person's better than another person. We all come before the Lord sinful. I've said it many times. What do we bring to salvation? One thing, our sins. And God forgives us. Why does he be? Because he loves you so much? No. Because his son paid for your sins. That's God's love. Paying for your sins. Redeeming you. And now we stand before him forgiven. So we got two parts. You ready? Someone to give thanks for. Who is that? The Father. Four things in the text to give thanks for. What do we have? He has fitted us, or prepared us, or qualified us, or made us meet for this inheritance. What? He delivered us from darkness. What? He has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. What? He has forgiven us because Christ has died for us. The price has been paid. We're only missing one thing. We have the someone. We have four some things. We have someone to say thanks or give thanks to. We have some things to give thanks for. We have one thing missing. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, please. Giving thanks with the idea of doing it. When you hear this, do it. Now, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption in God, in Christ, through his blood. That's the reason it's okay to say thank you to the Lord Jesus too. That's fine. Even the forgiveness of sins. So number six, and in conclusion, giving thanks at this time. That's what we do. Why? We got all three parts. We have someone to give thanks to. We have some things to give thanks for. And we can do it now. We have to have a time. Now is the time. T-Tom, put the 3 points back up here, please. Does everybody understand the 3 points? I want you to be clear. If you walk out of here today and you ever say to me, well, I feel grateful, I don't care. Because that's not Thanksgiving. That's not giving thanks. That has nothing to do with Christianity. Christianity is when you actually give thanks or thanksgiving. You know, you're doing something. It takes at a time. Well, I tell a story. Keep those up there if you would. I'll tell a story. I didn't learn it all at that time, but I learned one piece. Is it 3 or 4 years ago? 4 or 5 years ago? 6 or 7 years ago? Who knows? I'm going back to Sam's Club. Take a breather. I always go the same way. I leave the church, go Wadsworth out, go all the way to 41. I go across 41. For me, this is me. I like country. So I just stay on Wadsworth all the way to Hunt Club. You can go 4 other ways. I know. I like the beauty. You know, that's me. It's flat. The only thing I don't like, Jenny, is it's flat. I like hills and mountains and stuff. But I drive out there, and I would drive to Hunt Club, take a left, go through the little, it used to be a stop sign. Now there's a roundabout here and a roundabout here, whatever that road is, and go on out to all the way to Sam's Club. Well, the problem was, they closed the road for, it seemed like 12 years. It was probably 2 or a year. You say, did you like it? I never griped. I complained every day. I can't go there. One day, I went out to Sam's Club again. No joke. And somebody among the, when I got out there, I don't know if I had to talk to somebody, they said this to me. They said, Wadsworth Road is open now. You can go down Hunt Club. And then come across 41, because it was closed at 41. You can go to 41, but right across 41, you know, when you go up over the hill, it was closed. I say, I can? I still remember it. By the way, I never griped. No, thank you, Rhonda. Thank you for affirming that. I did not, by the way, I want to be clear. I did not gripe one time. I griped hundreds of times. Because I like to gripe just like you like to gripe. They said, you can come back. I said, wonderful. So I got on Hunt Club. I came out. You had to go through the two small roundabouts. I took a right to come east. I'm coming. And if you know, you go up over a hill and you come down. And I still remember, they put a big, big roundabout here. And have you seen it? At Dilly's and Hunt, in Dilly's and Wadsworth. It's a beautiful, somebody put like bushes and flowers and stuff there. I came up over there. And I'm like, in Lake County, somebody did something beautiful? And somebody did something nice that works? And I had the same problem. Who do I say thank you to? I knew who to gripe to. But who do I say thank you to? Friends! Thanksgiving is this. It's giving thanks. You got to have someone. Do you have someone? By the way, I have more than just God. I have a lot of people that I'm thankful for. Now, some of them will never hear it. My daughter will never hear it. You say, are you thankful for? Not a bit. But I do like the grandkids. But they come from Jared, so that's another story. So my daughter had nothing to do with that. By the way, I got lots of people, but I have God to give thanks to. Yes? Do I have something to give thanks for? The text gives us four things to give thanks for. Fitting us out for this inheritance, delivering us from the power of darkness, transferring us into the kingdom of his own son. And not only that, we are forgiven. So I got, hear me, I got to someone, I got to some things. The question is, am I willing to actually do it? It takes a time. See, being thankful is not a time thing. Giving thanks is pretty obvious. When you write a letter to somebody, when you text a text, I'm saying this and I'm done for this morning. Yesterday I called my aunt. My poor aunt's 85 years old. You know, when you get to be a certain age, plus it's the age thing of no technology. She said, Ralph, I have a flip phone. I didn't know they still sold flip phones, to be honest with you. She's 85. She says, I can text, but I don't. She says, I use it for phone calls, and she did not have my number, and she didn't know she could just hit the button and it would send it right back. She kept going to a number with an area code of 618. Now, none of you know where 618 is. You know what 618 is. It's down in the southern part of the state. Finally, her daughter fixed the phone. I called her. My Aunt Catherine called me back. Look at me. I'm being precise. My Aunt Catherine and Uncle Jim, of all the people I've ever met, probably had, I would say of the top five marriages I've ever seen, they're one of them. And I said to Aunt Catherine yesterday, you're right, by the way, Uncle Jim died. I saw him last March. You know what he said to me? He lied. He said, I'm almost married 66 years. He wasn't married 66 years in March. That would have been in December, but that was his life. I thought to myself, and I said to Aunt Catherine, I'm 68 years old. There was never a time in the 65 years that I have memory that there wasn't an Uncle Jim and an Aunt Catherine. Well, wait a minute. Christian people. Real Christian people. You understand? Real Christian people. I said, thank you. How about you today? I'm asking you, how about you? Are you going to walk away from saying, I feel thankful? I don't care about that kind of stuff. Because I don't find that's biblical. Biblical is always giving thanks to someone for something at some time. That's the sermon. Father, thank you for this time. I have so many people to be thankful for. You brought into my life. My goodness. I have so many people I love and can't imagine life without them. And when they're not here, it bothers me immensely. Father, thank you. Thank you for what you have done for us most of all. For every person in this room, there's no pressure. We want everyone to experience your great salvation. We want everybody to be able to be thankful and say thanks and give thanks. We're just giving back what you've given us. So much, so many. Yes, this morning, we have the someone to give thanks to. We have the some things to give thanks for, and I believe we have some time right now to give thanks at. Bless, I ask, in Christ's name. Amen.